John chapter 21, verse 1. After these things, Jesus manifested himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And he manifested himself in this way: Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will also come with you." And they went out and got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the day was now breaking, Jesus stood on the beach, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. So Jesus said to them, "Children, do you have any fish?" They answered him, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast, and then they were not able to haul it in because of the great number of fish. Verse 7. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." So when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put his outer garment on, for he was stripped for work, and cast himself into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from the land, but about 200 cubits away, dragging the net full of fish. So when they got out on the land, they saw a charcoal fire in place and fish placed on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish which you've now caught." Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. For this prayer, I just want to invite you to place your hands open in front of you. And we're going to pray together to invite the Holy Spirit into this moment. Well, Lord, we release every place that's in our life and our heart that would prevent us from being able to hear your word. And we invite the fullness of your Holy Spirit to fall, to give us understanding, passion, and your peace. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. I had a chance this week. I had seen some things that really tugged at my heart, and I took some time to go to the baptistry. And the baptistry is the area of the creek behind my house where we did last Sunday's baptisms. So I've named that the baptistry, going down the hill and around the corner, through the woods and over to the baptistry. Took my Jeep down the hill, and I'd put my folding chair in the back and set it up so that the Jeep cast a little bit of a shadow so I could sit in the shade and just look at the hole where the water falls down just gently and creates this little deep space that's there. When we had bought the house and were told about the creek, we had learned that there were no fish in the creek. But on Wednesday, when I went down, there were fish there. There were fish. Now, they're not big fish. You're going to have to catch a lot of fish to eat, right? So, fortunately, that's not where we are in our life right now. It's got some bluegill fish down there. They're just small. Saw a turtle, small turtle, float by. Thought it was a leaf at first, but then I saw little arms moving. That's a little green turtle. Yesterday in the evening, I saw another little turtle, a juvenile snapping turtle. Crawfish down, finding his way under a rock, going in and out. And there I was after a kind of a heart tug morning, just sitting in the brightness of the day and listening for God's direction. God began to speak, guided me again to this text. And then Friday, I was able to go back and visit the same spot as I prayed and try to prepare for this message today. There was a moment that, while sitting there, I heard with so much clarity about the presence of Jesus in this this chapter and just 11 verses, it stirred within me that I could feel something that I didn't bring with me. It filled me with the presence of God that I didn't bring with me. There was such a life to this story. In John chapter 21, it's considered one of the third resurrection moments of where, verse 1, it says that Jesus has decided to manifest himself. And it's repeated to emphasize that Jesus is manifesting himself. What a powerful word. A manifestation of Jesus. This is not a vision. It's not a vision. It's not something that the imagination has created. It is a manifestation in the flesh of Jesus has decided to manifest himself this way. About a week after the resurrection, after those things had happened, in verse 1 it says Jesus decided to manifest himself in this way. And verse 2 tells us who's present to see it. We have Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin or Thomas Didymus. We have Nathanael of Cana in Galilee. And really, you know, Nathanael, he's not mentioned a lot in the Gospels. The last time we see Nathanael in John's Gospel is at the very end of John chapter 1. And John is in chapter 1 at the very end, is amazed that Jesus could see him under the fig tree. And Jesus says to Nathanael, "And you will see greater things than these." And here comes the greater things, right? All of this life of Jesus, the greater things of Jesus, death and resurrection, the greater things. Then you have the sons of Zebedee, James and John. And then I love how John then does this. And then John says, two other disciples. So that means that there's room in this story for me and you, all right? So we get to be in this story too, me and you. We're the two other disciples who have come into this story after the resurrection. And verse 3, Simon Peter, after everything of Holy Week, after everything of having lived through with Jesus, after Simon Peter's even denial of Jesus before his final death across a charcoal fire and hearing the cock crow and all of those moments that have been tugging at his heart, even after the moment when Jesus reappeared behind the locked door and revealed himself to the disciples, there's still a sense of, what do I do next? What's the next thing to do? If you've ever been in a moment in your life where you know you should be doing something, you just don't know what it is that you're supposed to be doing. Simon Peter does what he knows well. And he says to the other disciples, "I'm going fishing," right? What would be the thing that you would say to someone when you needed to find your direction? What would you tell someone else? Simon Peter says, "I'm going fishing." And the other disciples say, "Well, we'll go with you." One could just imagine that they'd been out in the cold water. They're fishing with nets, by the way. So sometimes you get off the boat to pull your net in if the water is shallow enough. One can imagine that water had been cold. Maybe their feet got into the mud in the shallow, or perhaps as they went out deeper and deeper, that they would cast their nets and the water would hit them as they brought the nets up and the nets would be empty. And I want to tell you, when you've been fishing for a while and you haven't caught anything, man, there's a feeling that goes along with that, right? Those moments in life when you've been doing everything that you know that you're supposed to be doing, when you're trying to do it right, when it's worked in the past but it's not working now, here is Simon Peter and these other disciples fishing in the darkness and they're not catching anything. I wonder how many of us are right there in that moment right now where you think you've been doing what you're supposed to be doing and nothing's happening. I love verse 4 because verse 4 is when the sunlight begins to break over the horizon. The breaking of the light in verse 4 is when we begin to see the light. And off in the distance, they see a figure of a person, but they don't recognize who he is. Picture for me for just a moment the light breaking through the new day. and the dark figure and the horizon, and you don't know who it is. Verse 5, we hear this shadowy figure off on the horizon call out, "Children." The Legacy Standard Bible translates, some translations use "friends." "Children, have you caught any fish?" And their answer was no. Shake your head and say no with me. No, no, no. They've been at it all night. Now the light is breaking. And in the tradition of fishermen, if you haven't caught fish in the night, you're not likely to catch fish in the morning. In verse 6, Jesus, standing on the shoreline, unrecognized by the disciples, his friends out in the boats. The friends who heard his voice calling from a distance. In verse 6, Jesus simply says, "Throw your nets on the right side of the boat. Throw your nets over to the right side of the boat." Picture yourself on a small boat with your nets. And all of a sudden, the nets tugged at the boat. If you had been on this boat, don't you know that this boat began to tilt a little bit over to the right side? Maybe some water started splashing up into your boat because the nets that you'd used all night long had not caught the first fish. Those nets that were on the right side of the boat, in obedience to the stranger's voice over on the horizon, that this boat began to tilt down into the water because so many large fish flocked to that net. The same Sea of Galilee, that same horizon now in the light, Simon Peter stands up, looks at the situation, having been tilted over, being put out of his comfort and being tilted toward the sinking side of the boat, filled with fish, looking over at the side of the Sea of Galilee on the shore, the Sea of Tiberias and the Sea of Galilee being the same place. One could just imagine perhaps that this was the same beach that Jesus fed 5,000. This would have been the same beach perhaps that miracles had happened. And in a moment of revelation of the manifestation of Jesus, here is Simon Peter, and he says, with the authority of Mary Magdalene and Mary in the day of the resurrection, Simon Peter says, "It is the Lord." He saw the vision. He saw who it is. He recognized in the light of that morning who it was who gave the instruction to throw the net over on the other side of the boat. Some have perceived that perhaps being on the shoreline, you could see a large school of fish swimming by. For me, it doesn't make a difference if you can see the fish or not. It's a miraculous moment for fishermen who have fished all night long and had not caught the first thing, that here in this moment, Simon Peter's able to recognize who it is. Simon Peter, who had been dressed for fishing work, takes his outer garment, wraps it around himself, and in verse 7 just jumps out of the boat and heads to the beach. In verse 8, he leaves the other disciples who went fishing with him. This was his idea, by the way, right? It was his idea to go fishing in the night. It was his idea that we'd go fishing on the night where we didn't catch any fish. And now Simon Peter has left the rest of the disciples in the boat to bring in the fish, as Simon Peter makes his way to Jesus. Man, this text is so rich. Here's one of those moments where you have this miraculous catch of fish by just simply obeying Jesus. And in the church today, we have folks who are ready to get out of the boat the moment they see Jesus, and the rest of us who are willing to stay behind to see, well, let's just wait and see who it really is, right? let's just play it safe. Let's just wait and see, right? Let's wait and see. And something happens in verse 9 that if you could fall out of your camping chair, just really was one of those moments when I read verse 9. when they got back to the land, man, this is really rich right here. They found Jesus over a charcoal fire that had fish and bread. This verse 9 is where this sermon is today for me. I want to tell you the reason why. That night, when Simon Peter and the disciples were out in the boat trying to fish, Jesus knew that they'd be coming back to the beach the next morning. He gathered up charcoal, and he had already started a fire. If that's not enough, Jesus had also gone fishing in the darkness too, and he had caught fish, because it says the fish were already on the grill. I did some yard work this week, and which is not a surprise, right? By now, you know, we've got enough yard that we can't afford to pay someone else to do this. So James Johnson's got to change his attitude and his heart and get into it, right? So, and it's growing on me, all right. And I'm thankful to have stewardship of this place that we love so much. And my father-in-law, he had been out mowing the grass, and a lot of the equipment that I'm using belongs to him. And he's trying to teach me, which is one lesson's not enough. I'm learning, but I'm not there yet on how to use his equipment. Trying to use his equipment and trying to get out there and do my part and care for the place. Last night we cooked dinner, and one of the things that I'm also using is his grill. It's like an egg grill. And we had folks over from the Sunday school class, and I had gotten everything ready so that at the right time it would be ready to cook our dinner. And I'm still learning how to use his equipment. And I'd gotten this grill started. And when I opened up the grill, the thermometer was reading, you know, in the lower side of things. But actually what had happened is, since the time I'd gotten the charcoal started and the time it was time to cook, the thermometer actually had gone all the way around and started back over. And really not realizing what I was doing is that I put the meat on the grill, and it was the hottest fire I've ever tried to cook something with. And, I mean, I was about to burn every single burger that was on this grill. That thermometer had gone all the way around past 700 and started over on the other direction. Now, I don't know about Jesus, but I imagine that Jesus had better wisdom than I had and knew that if you overcook fish, it dries out. Nobody wants to eat dried out fish, right? Isn't it amazing? Here is Jesus on this fire that he had started while the fishermen were out there, and had made it, timed it just right for the moment when the disciples would come, and that he had had enough time to put the stuff together to make bread on that charcoal fire. You know, with the right kind of pot, you can make biscuits on a fire, right? Here is Jesus having baked bread in the darkness of the night. And the reason I've told you all of this is that there are moments when, like the disciples, that you're out in the boat, you're trying to make things work. You're doing what you've done in the past, and you're not getting the results that you wanted. But Jesus is just over on the horizon, watching you from a distance, knows when you're going to come home, knows when you're going to come back to the beach, and Jesus anticipating your hunger, anticipating where you've been in your story and your frustrations and all of your heartache, that Jesus, he started baking bread. He'd already put the fish on the fire. He was waiting for his brothers to come to the beach to enjoy the breakfast with him. It's like going home, and when your mom or your grandmother has prepared that perfect meal for you, and you just come in, and you can smell it coming in. This moment when in 7 and 8, when Peter had stepped out of the boat and he didn't want to do anything but get to Jesus. In verse 8, when it says 100 cubits, it's about 300 yards is a translation for that number. When they get back to the beach, and there they are with Jesus, they're ready to enjoy this meal with their Savior. And Lord, we just pray for this emergency right now and those who are responding. In Jesus' name. In verse 10, Jesus says to the disciples, come bring your fish over here and add it to the fire. In verse 11, it says that Simon Peter, the same one who jumped out of the boat, he went and it used this word, and I want to use just a moment to talk about this word, where he drew the fish in. John chapter 21 is one of those chapters that's, it's not tying up loose ends. It's just threading a needle. It's making the knot tighter because there's the Gospels aren't ever finished. The Gospels are still being written in your life and in your story. The Holy Spirit doesn't finish the story of Jesus just with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's continued to be written upon your hearts. And these threading of these stories from Nathanael, Cana of Galilee, seeing greater things to these moments with Simon Peter. And the last time that Simon Peter, we'll talk about this story a little bit more next week, where Simon Peter, last time he saw Jesus was over the charcoal fires. He denied who he was, you know, and maybe not the last time, but one of the last times that he saw. And then here in this moment, Simon Peter is gone and he's drawing these fish. And in chapter 12 of John's gospel, Jesus will say, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me. The same Greek word is being used here as Simon Peter is going out, helping his brothers bring in the fish to put them on the fire. Church, we come to a Sunday, the third Sunday of Easter. We are First United Methodist Church of Gallatin, Tennessee. And as a church body together, and as members of the family of God, we need to be asking ourselves, if we have been out fishing and it's not been working, that the challenge for us is to wait until the dawn, to wait until we hear the word of Jesus, and Jesus will give us direction. And even in the moments when we feel like nothing that we're doing is working, even in those moments when we feel like we don't know what to do next, Jesus is just off in the distance telling us it's going to be all right, and he's waiting for us to get back to him. The focus of John chapter 21 is not the skill set or the equippedness of the disciples who are fishermen, but the incredible presence of Jesus who does the miracle over and over and over again, provides fish for those who are hungry, who is calling fishermen to come join him at the beach. For every person who hears my voice today, who's in this moment, not just in their church, in this church, but in their life, who's waiting to hear, in the darkness, this isn't working. My prayer is that you would be able to hear the voice of Jesus today, giving you direction. To invite the miracle work of Christ in your life. I learned yesterday that on the next good day we have together, the weather's just right, and I've got the boys with us. We're going to go down to the baptistry, and we're going to go fishing. We're going to use a little bit of bacon as the bait for these bluegill. There's some of us who have been pretty comfortable in the boat. I think there's a word for us that it's time for us to start drawing fish in. It's not enough just to sit in the boat. It's not enough to be in our places of comfort. I think it's time for us to get out of the boat and walk sometimes in the water, put our feet into the mud, find ourselves with Jesus, who's been waiting all night for us. For you, for all of us together. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.